but it is a theme that runs through the Bible. I don't believe that truth has ever changed. I want to begin by saying you are here because of prayer. Prayer, although can be used to thank the Lord, it is prayer that changes things. We know that. But may we know it again to help motivate us again. When God showed up in the garden and said, "Adam, where art thou?" He was looking for man. He was hiding. And God is always looking for a man to do something. Let's open to Ezekiel chapter 22. This is I'm going to try to show this truth that is threaded through the scriptures. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. The prophet said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Prayer could have been used if God could have found someone that would have prayed. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But I couldn't find anybody that would stand and pay the price in prayer. That truth is also found in Daniel, although perhaps I want to weave this truth. We've mentioned it recently in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, at verse 3. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And he's talking about how he was beginning to seek the Lord for understanding of a vision. And we find that in verse 10, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, I want you to understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." The angel is saying, "We heard you the moment you prayed. And I was sent to help you, Daniel." In this case, it would be the understanding. But he says, verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me all this time. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me," believe Michael the archangel. So there was a battle in the heavens. I personally believe before we get victory here, there's a battle that takes place in the heavens that is won by prayer that makes it possible for us to receive that victory here. That was the case in Daniel's story. God said in Ezekiel that in the same token, he was looking for someone to pray that could win the battle. So Daniel was encouraged. When Jesus was on the cross, Jesus, we know, came for the very purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission, to save. And when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," we must be careful not to apply those words to areas they don't belong. It is true. The work that was necessary for man to be saved and the shedding of his blood, it is done. It is finished. We don't need anything else to happen for man to be justified before God. It is finished, what he did on the work on the cross. But we must not apply that it is finished as though there is not other work to be done. And that work that needs to continually be done is prayer. Prayer is so necessary, and because victories are wrought in the heavens, I believe when he says in Ephesians, let's turn there to these passages that I believe are connected. In Ephesians, we've referred to it. He says in chapter 6 that put on the whole armor of God because there's a battle. What is the battle about? The battle is raging for souls. The battle is raging for souls to be saved. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's what we read in the book of Daniel. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he says, take on the whole armor of God that, yes, for victory in your life. But then verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the... this is about advancing the gospel. How beautiful it said in Isaiah, are the feet of them that bring good news. He's pulling this passage from the Old Testament. Paul is talking about a battle that is raging, not just between darkness and light, that'd be true, but it is a battle of advancing the kingdom of God that people might enter into the kingdom and be saved. But he does say in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It is so necessary. Paul even realized he needed prayer. In verse 19, he says, and for me that utterance may be given, so that when I preach, my words are not just bouncing off of the hearts that hear it, but there is a power and a force behind it, that so that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. So this thing is about salvation and people coming to God. Now, it is true we put on the armor of God that we can win the battles of life. But let me tie this thought in. What good is it if you win the battle of life, but you lose your own soul? Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good would it have done if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won that battle and went out and didn't live for God? The battle, all of the victories that we have are for the purpose to generate and build faith that we might have an influence upon the lost, is why Jesus came. And if we ever lose the whole purpose of the gospel, and it is to reach the lost, and all kinds of verbiage is used along with it, at any cost, and that doesn't mean wisdom must not be applied. But this really is when Jesus said, it is finished, let us understand, yes, but there's a lot of work to be done. That, for instance, when he left, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He encouraged the disciples that to help you to win the lost. You go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so they went there and they prayed. When the Holy Spirit came and they received it, that doesn't mean that you quit praying. They continued to pray. They continued to the next chapter. It says Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. What are they praying about? What are they doing? Well, for many things, I'm sure, to have a touch of God in their life. But generally, all those things funnel down to reach the lost. And so I want us to take a look at what is Jesus doing now. Even now, He is, let's take a look. I want you to turn two passages, Romans 8 and chapter 34. Romans 8 and verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God." And what's he doing? He's making intercession. He's praying. Right now, while I am speaking to you, Jesus is praying. What is he praying about? He is praying that we might be effective to reach the lost, because there will be a judgment day and everything is funneling to that day. And yes, it's important that we be victorious in our life, but those victories are all for the purpose to create faith and to stir us to reaching the lost. And from there, I want us to see that's what Christ is doing. So when he said it is finished, that's true as far as what needs to be done, but there's so much other work to be done. I want you to turn, because there's another passage that shows the importance of prayer. Before we turn there, remember, Jesus prayed all night. What was he praying about? He was praying about picking disciples. He was praying, why? He was wanting God's will. It's important who I pick, but it was all for the purpose of training and discipling those that he did pick, which he needed the wisdom of God for, to reach the lost. And so even Jesus, he wanted to protect prayer. Nothing got his dandruff up quite like seeing the church not treat prayer as it should be. And when he saw it was being abused and the money changers and making merchandise, that stirred him. But why? Because prayer is so necessary. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And when I say house, yes, collectively, but individually. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. He even told Isaiah, "Isaiah, I need some intercessors. I need some prayer warriors. Who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Lord, send me." It is believed that Abraham, when he was told by God that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, it is believed that when Abraham was talked to God, "If there be so many righteous, would you save them?" Some have believed, and I would agree with them, that is perhaps a type of intercessory prayer, standing in a gap. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, because we just read in Romans, but here helps us see why prayer is so necessary. It is the life source of the church. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And it really tells us what the prayer is really to be funneled down to. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to" what? "Save." Now, is that just saving if I have a headache? Might be. Is that just saving if I'm being persecuted and God comes on the scene and delivers? Could be. But why those victories? Those victories are to produce faith that people might be saved. If we get victories and victories, but we don't get salvation, then those victories haven't served their purpose. Those victories, yes, God loves us and he wants to do it, but listen, he is able to save. God is in the saving business. "To save them to the uttermost that come unto him." That's talking about salvation. Yes, it's talking about a salvation to deliver the children of Israel from the Red Sea. It's talking about a salvation perhaps of Mordecai and Haman in that story, and many victories where God saved David from Goliath. Yes, those victories are important, but this salvation, this ultimate one, is talking about a salvation that's going to last throughout eternity. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." And here it is, "seeing he," that's Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know why you are living for God? It's because prayer went forth that caused a birthing in you. I don't know whose prayer it was. It's not the point. But the point is I believe the scriptures so emphatically teach the need of prayer. If Jesus is doing that right now, and if I'm to be Christ-like, then ought we also be people of prayer that seek the Lord and see its need and importance. In Isaiah 53:12, I want to read some scriptures that speak to our hearts to show us the heart of God and the need of these prayers. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We're talking about God would see the travail of his soul. Jesus said to, in Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus said, I want to read it so we'll understand. Jesus, boy, he was serious about prayer. Luke 22 and verse 32. He's talking to Simon Peter. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I don't believe that Jesus just prayed a 2-second prayer when it came to him describing Simon Peter. But he let him know, I've really prayed for you that your faith fail not. The Lord saw a battle in the heavens, no doubt. And the Lord joined in to bring forth, I believe, victory for Simon Peter. I myself, in my years of serving the Lord, have at times been aware I was really in a battle. And I see through a glass darkly, but I knew that something happened as I interceded that the victory came. I knew it had come. Even though I didn't see it yet, I knew it came. And that could have been in different areas, but it made me realize, wow, I'm so glad I prayed. In St. John verse Luke 23 and verse 34, here we find Jesus said, from the cross he's interceding. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ, even on the cross, is interceding. We come to St. John chapter 14 and how we see Jesus speaks about prayer. And in John 14, verse 16, and Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We know this as Pentecostal people. We know the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the Spirit of truth, and we know that the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest reasons the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit is to help us in our prayer life, to help us when we do intercede. And for it says, for when you know not what you should pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit is able to pray through you. But the purpose, again, the Holy Spirit is, it comes to speak of Christ, but it also comes to help us in our prayer life, which is so important. In John 17, verse 9, Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And we see Christ speaking of the importance of prayer. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, or forward. We're in the gospel. If we go to Romans chapter 8, and I'll wrap this up in just a little bit. But here in Romans 8, 34, I believe I mentioned this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Yes, he's there to strengthen us, but he's there to strengthen us, and everything funnels that we might have an influence and being equipped to bring victory, but to help win the lost. We already read Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In the Old Testament, God looked for intercessors. He did so with Isaiah. He said to Jeremiah, I can't find an intercessor. Jesus in the garden needed someone to pray, and as I mentioned this morning, Jesus said when he saw him sleeping, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to pray. And notice, Jesus, not one time do you ever have a sense where we're not done with that ministry. We need to keep praying. Jesus told them to go tarry in Jerusalem, and even though the Spirit came, that didn't mean you quit praying. They went up to the temple to pray. The book of Acts is continually about prayer, and the disciples continued to pray. Even now, Jesus is praying. In Ephesians, we're to put on the whole armor of God, praying always. I want to just close by saying this. I was talking to a friend of mine who I've known for many years, and I said, I realize I have left years ahead of me than I do behind me, outside of me living to be 130. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that people needed my prayer, but I didn't pray. I don't, you say, well, how do you know that? I don't. But I know Jesus said at one time, referring to judgment, he said, I was in prison, you didn't visit me. There was someone that needed help and you weren't there to help them. I believe that God, not only is Jesus praying, but our prayers are needed. They are needed. And I don't want to get there and find out because of my lack of prayer, someone hurt. You say, well, God will raise up someone else if you don't pray. I'm not so sure about that. That's my own opinion. I'm not so, everything's fine. I know there's people just go around, everything's fine, everything's fine. You go around everything fine, you'll never be weeping. You go around with the attitude, everything's fine, God ever works everything out. I believe that, but I believe it because I pray. And I don't want to be guilty of God needing me to pray, and I didn't pray, and somebody suffered. I know he needs our prayers. I don't understand it, but I know it is true. And I believe that is emphasized. And when Jesus said, it is finished, let's not think we're finished. The work for salvation, yes, that's done. But folks, we have work to do. And I want to encourage you to keep praying. Do we overdo it in prayer? No. No, we don't. Do we go to church too much? No. Do we witness too much? No. Do we give too much? No. Are you trying to put a guilt on me? No. I'm trying to let you know you're needed. Your prayers are needed. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, you said, pray that the Lord of harvest would raise up laborers in the vineyard, that the fields are white. Oh God, speak to our hearts that you're still looking for a man to stand in the gap, that you're still needing people to do their part, The only hands you've had, it has been said, and rightly so, are our hands. The only voice you have is our voice. And yes, you can bypass that and speak to Saul on the way to Damascus. But that seems to be rare in the overall scheme of things in the Scriptures. Most people that come to you, it's because of our voice. And may we not underestimate the need of prayer, that even right now, Jesus is praying. There might come a day when we're all in glory at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we rejoice, and that ministry will not be needed anymore. But Lord, like the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes and he wanted to be able to go back and to change things, he can't. He said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. And Lord, may we realize that one day our life will be over. And oh God, may you stir us. May you use us. May we not take these words lightly. And may we realize, as you said to Isaiah, who will I send? May we answer that, Lord, send me. And not only send, but who will pray? May it be, Lord, let me pray. And oh God, may we pray fervently. For souls are at stake, in Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.